So you can see, I love showing videos and music videos and things like that to kind of reinforce what we're talking about. God changes us from the inside out. Okay? There's still some residue that will always be there. Okay? There's still stuff there. And it's you know what? It keeps us humble. Think about it. It keeps us humble. And so that's what we need to really understand is, you know, God exalts those. See, what's he? What's that in Luke? God humble. Let's see.
God humbles the proud.
Yeah, that's what it is. God humbles it. That's another word. Can't think of it. But yeah, he humbles the proud. So
he opposes the proud.
Yeah, I can't think of it. It's another. Anyway. So anyway, look up Matt. It's Luke. Luke. But a lot of times, you know, it keeps us humble. And a humble leader, a bold, holy bold, holy boldness is my goal. That's what you want. Holy boldness. Holy boldness. And yet you do it with a humility. Okay? Now how do you do all that? God does it. He can do it. He can do it. We are to go around with confidence and a holy boldness, giving God the glory. Not us. Not us. And it's just like, remember years ago, I remember one of James Dobson's many videos. He said, you know what, folks? It's not self-esteem. It's God-esteem. What a good word. It is God-esteem. You know, we've got success in our lives because of the Lord and because we have chosen to follow, quote, the law, the Word of God. Remember in Joshua, that first chapter in Joshua? It says, Joshua, you will have great success if you will just focus on and read the Word every day. That's what he said. That's what the Word, that's what Moses said. Why are we any different? I pray that each one of you is in the Word every day. Going to church, that's 1/7 of the week. What do we do the other? See, so that's what we need to be ourselves. And we can't point fingers, but that's what we need to be, so we can understand each other's temperaments, work with each other, still that tongue at times when you want to say something, and other times when God releases you, you say something. But you do it respectfully. We'll get into that. So there was just a good example of how a lot of us have those feelings. And we can override them and deal with them. Okay, so moving on here, personal motivation. Yeah, and then yeah, if we could, and I'll show another video in a little bit. Okay. So personal motivation. This piece right here is worth gold. Personal motivation for a D is results. D's like results. Okay? Eyes, they like recognition. Not all the time, but they tend to. The S, we like appreciation. Okay? And then C's are very quality oriented. So let me tell you something. Whenever you are complimenting a D, compliment him concerning some type of results. When you're complimenting an I, compliment, recognize them for what they did. Don't use made up things. Don't be phony. Just focus on this is what makes them feel appreciated. This is what makes them feel honored, respected, whatever word you want to. For S's, use the word appreciation. I really appreciate you're such a great team player. I appreciate you speaking up the other day. I appreciate you going ahead and cleaning the kitchen, you know, because there was a lot to do. And then quality for C's. Really appreciate the report that you gave me to give to the board. I've done that many times, and I meant it. I meant it. So I look, who am I talking to in our ministry, and I try my best to use what I know is just near and dear to their hearts. Okay? Just like a child. You can have two or three different kids, and you're not going to treat each one. You would like to treat each one the same. But some of them, man, they came out of the womb telling you what to do, you know? And it's not necessarily the D. It can be a C. It can be a C. Because they just want things their way. And not necessarily D. It can be a C. And the I, that I kid, they just won't sit still. And that's who they are. They're so outgoing. They talk to strangers. That's what turns them on. You're trying to get them not to talk to strangers. You know, and then you have the F's, the real easy, easy going. So it's the same thing in your ministry. Then under pressure, D's become autocratic. I's, man, they start talking, getting themselves out of that situation. Okay? Steadiness, they acquiesce. They give in. Because we don't want to cause what? Conflict. Okay? And then the C's, they avoid. A C will tend to avoid. Not always, you know, but these are just tendencies. This is, DISC has been, there's millions and millions of people that have taken the DISC. They've measured it, and it's pretty accurate. It's the same with the Myers-Briggs. Millions. So, yet God made us unique. Right? He made us unique. He made us so unique. And I love that. But he says, just check in with me. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'm here. I help you through whatever the situation is. Now, here's a big one. Would benefit from, the D's would benefit from one of D's. Let me hear you. One, two, three. Listening. Okay? Because they are so smart. They're so far down the road that there's times they miss a little detail that can throw things off. Because they're so outgoing, they need the plan. They need the plan. Okay? S's would benefit from being a little bit more bold. Initiate. God speaking to them. Be bold. And then the C's would benefit from speaking up. Just speaking up. You know, declaring. How are they feeling? You know? And then a huge one is this last one. Greatest fear. For D's, you want to get them angry? Say, losing control, being taken advantage of. Don't do that. Even a little boy, a little girl who's a high D, don't corner them. Give them options. Honey, you can go to bed either 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, or 8 o'clock. You're used to going to bed at 9 o'clock. You're not. No. For what you did? Uh-uh. But you pick which one you want. Hey, she don't want either one. But you're giving her power. Follow me? And you may have to do the same thing with some of your people. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's very similar to losing control. If a D, one of the reasons D's take on so many causes is they feel that offense. They feel what's a good word? Offense is a big one. The injustice, that's what it is. And we'll talk about that in a minute. They feel that. And they feel they're being taken advantage of. Watch out. They will just come at you. And if they see a group of people or someone else being taken advantage of, the injustice, they will speak up. They will say something where the rest of us will just kind of hold back. You know, let's see, we don't want to cause a scene. The D's are saying, what do you mean cause a scene? Someone's got to speak up for them. Someone's got to do it. So it's not necessary. I love your question, because it's not necessarily them being taken advantage of. They see a cause. That's why D's overall in this world will take on causes, because they're not afraid of what people will think. They're going to go and do it. The thing is they got to benefit from listening a little bit, you know, getting some details in there and count the cost, because Scripture says count the cost. Well, each one of our personalities, we're going to count the cost in a little bit different way. The C's count every cost, and they'll know when they're going to get to that point of taking a stand. Okay? At times. Not all the time. And then the D is on the other end of the spectrum. Someone's got to stand up for that kid, that family, but have they kind of checked things out? Like the difference between being spontaneous and impulsive. Huge difference. Think about it, right? And you don't want to be impulsive. Impulsive means you haven't even given it to God for a second or two. Spontaneous is you see something and then just, you know, split second. Lord, do I do this? That's quick. You know, and then you get that release or you don't get the release. Okay? Huge difference. I counseled a lot of people on spontaneous versus impulsive and perfection versus excellence. Huge. A lot of people. You know? So, now, eyes, the greatest fear for the eye is social disapproval, because why? They love to make people happy. Differently than the S's, okay? They like to entertain people. They have great hospitality gifts, okay? So most cases, social disapproval. It just grieves their heart. S's, greatest fear is loss of security, because what? S's have their composure. They're in control. They want everything. They want to make sure that everything is okay. We don't want to offend anybody on either side. And so if you throw them off, that loss of security just really gets to them. And I've seen that in myself at times too. But you know, the more you're in God's Word, the more I want to be like a D. Okay? Take that risk. You know, it's calculated, but you take that risk. And then greatest fear for C's is what? Criticism. Doesn't that make sense? Because they do everything right. So if you're with a C and you criticize them, they're usually pretty thorough, and they take that, they're offended by that. So you better be kind when you say that. You know, love the work you do. I did want to share that number was off, and they're going, could have been, you know. But you see what I'm saying? And that'll bring us to a section. You have another question? Sure. They can, yeah, can burn out their team. Correct. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the question is, if you're D and you're leaving, you know, you're such a visionary, and you go forward and you're leaving people behind, and... Okay, not being considerate of others. Okay, so that's the hard D. See, there's hard D's, soft D's. Hard C's, soft C's. Hard and every one of those. Let's talk about the D's, because that's the bulk here. This is leadership. Gathering here. I've spoken with, I think I mentioned it just a little bit ago, I've spoken with some other executive directors who've asked me to help them. And they're D's. They're high D's with high turnover. And so we talk about it. And what's happening is kind of what you described. What is your first name?
Lori.
Kind of what Lori described. That is, man, she's down here. Let's get it done. This is what we can do. But you know what? You need to make sure that as a leader, you turn around, there's people following you.
Okay, so I got
Yeah. Well, one way you can tell if there's a problem or doing something right, one is when you have high turnover, that's an issue. Okay. Secondly, though, is perhaps the ones that do follow you and are right on track with you, you did a better hire for your kind of leadership. Okay? So if you're fast paced and you're wanting fast paced people, then you're gonna have to do a lot of interviewing to make sure that they are going to your culture that you're creating, that they're gonna thrive in it. Most people, you're gonna burn them out. You know? I don't know how when you know, we'd have to look at how fast paced you're talking about. You know? So because you want to hire people who are passionate about your cause. And here, let's bring it back to the pregnancy center movement. I'm a visionary, and I've hired a lot of D's around me. What do D's do? They get things done. Okay. But I try not to hire a hard D, because they'll turn people off, and then we'll lose people. Does that make sense? Talk louder. I can't hear you. Talk louder. Yeah. Sure. Right. Right. Well, let's bring it back. The observation was it's just scary to see some D's that they have people turning over, you know, leaving. And the thing, let's bring it back to the pregnancy center ministry. Let's bring it back here. Okay? What needs to be done? You know you have to have D's in place or that ministry isn't going to make it. And yet you also, over here, you got to have C's in place or the ministry is not going to make it. You got to have S's in place and you got to have some I's in there. Okay? So, you know, what do you do? I mean, that's the open-ended question. What do you do? Okay. So one, and then I'll let you all share. One is you better hire people who love Jesus, that are spirit-filled, you know, that love the Lord. Okay. That's also like saying to be evenly yoked when you marry someone. What does it mean just because he or she's a Christian, you marry them? That doesn't mean you're evenly yoked, does it?
No.
Then what's the difference? Then why is that any difference when we go to hire people in our ministries? Here's a Christian, Saul. Why can't we hire this Christian? Well, do they fit your guidelines? Does that person? We need a detailed person. Do they have a detailed personality? The job description calls for this. Okay. Then you got other parameters. How do they get along with the job where they were before? You ask your question, call on those references. Make sure that you ask questions as what were they like to work with? See, a lot of times we try to hire go get them type people, but we want to hire people who are team players. Now, obviously, love the Lord and have proven some proven background. And they're team players. It's not about them. It's about the Lord being glorified. It's about the team. Okay? So the difference between your example of that, the hospital, there was such turnover. I mean, we hear that. The corporations. I used to work for Allstate Insurance when I first, you know, graduated from college. You know, I was there for 10 years. And here the difference is we're Christ-centered. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. He's the one who not only gave us our temperament, He helps us with our temperament. He loves on us with our temperament. He's happy when He says He can say, "Hey, you know, look at your first name again?
Lisa.
Look how high D she is. She's really high. She gets things done, but she's also she also loves me with all her heart. And she cares about others. Okay? Then you got the other end of the spectrum where you got people who are so relationship oriented and not getting anything done. Well, that's not the kind of Christian I want to hire. Everyone loves her. Or, you know, whatever. Everyone loves him. Yeah, but what does he accomplish? Where are the results? Where he was before. So there's a lot of things you've got to measure as you in the process of hiring people. Wouldn't you all agree? Okay, and it isn't just easy. Why? It's why the Lord keeps telling us, you need me. We leave him out. We leave him out. And then some people say, well, Saul, you're too business. When I first got there, I didn't make many changes in that first year, and we lost two people because they said, you're too corporate. Corporate, I want to know how many babies we plan on saving each month. How many salvations? Well, how can you do that? Well, how can you do anything if you don't have a goal? So I was too corporate. Two wonderful people. Okay? But listen, we stand before the Lord. He's not going to say, how many babies did you help save? But he's going to say, what did you do with the gifts I gave you that helped result in closing down the abortion clinics? Were you just faithful? Did you use the gifts that I gave you? The planning gifts, the relationship gifts, whatever your gifts are, did you use them? Lord, I tried my best. I tried my best. All right. So, you know, were you in my word? Did you yada with me? Did you hang out with me? You know, that's what he's going to say. But we're also responsible for what we do. It is. Look in the scriptures. You know? This is good dialogue. This is excellent dialogue. This is what we need to be processing so we build ministries that are monumental to the Lord. Doesn't matter if it's 5 people or 55 people in your ministry. Is it monumental to the Lord? That's what it is. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? Are you quick to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Are you quick to love, too, and give compliments? See, those are the things we've got to do, and it's a challenge on every one of those personality types. It's a challenge. But the Lord can do it, because if He can raise Jesus from the dead, then He can... He can make any changes. He can do anything. He can do anything. Yes? I had some hands over here. Darla?
You made a quote from Elizabeth Gutierrez, which is highly recommended. She had a high impact on our organization. One thing that Lori just joined our team about 4 weeks ago. So
yeah.
Throwing her into the pool for me.
Yeah. And she's asked very good questions, too.
I know. I love it. And I'm excited about her being on a huge, strong beach.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that we're going to be accomplishing things now. We have a long way to go. But probably the single greatest takeaway from that book, Good to Great for Ed, had to do around the processing we did about honest autopsies. What's working, what's not, and this extreme vulnerability. And that book doesn't touch on it. But I think outside of understanding the full grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and what a grace model of culture is supposed to look like, we can't truly have honest autopsies about what's working.
Yeah.
This chick in 4 weeks has come in and asked me some really hard questions. She knows I think chicken the fondest is.
Yeah.
But I in return have challenged her. We pushed each other.
Right.
Why? Because we understand it is not about her. It is not about me. It's about what we do at the end of the day for Jesus Christ and how
right.
We see lives change and how the needle is moved for change in the lives of our community, our culture, our churches, our clients. And it's not personal. It is about what we can accomplish together. Yeah. We are in total opposite ends. Well, not total opposite. It's two different the I, I'm an IX.
Yeah.
Well, so we meet the middle on the I.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we understand that we've got some challenges ahead of us to work very closely together. But, man, I'm so thankful for that driver in her that drives me and pushes me beyond my comfort level and holds me accountable, while at the same time I'm coming alongside her and going, Lord, we're not going to kill anybody in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. You're right. It's this balance. But it's not just hiring the right people, but understanding, giving permission to have those critical conversations and not getting offended.
Okay. Very good. Critical conversations. That's a good thing right there. Amen. Good. Thank you for sharing that, Charlie. Yes.
I was just going to say that in kind of going back a couple of comments ago to the hiring and the staffing and the interview process, is that one of the things that I learned to ask is what agenda do you see for yourself here at the center?
Yeah.
Because if they have a personal agenda, it doesn't matter what they are on the disc, they're not going to be a good fit because they're not on the same mission page that we are. And that's when you lose people, is that they will not be a long-time person at the center, whether a volunteer or a staff person, because they're constantly fighting against the direction that the board has set.
Mm-hmm.
And the board sets the direction, and we follow that, and we go where they tell us to go.
Good observation. Good observation. And the comment was, you hire someone, you should really find out what their motivation is for coming on board. And one of the things that we do ask or try to is, how do you see yourself helping this ministry? It's a good question. How do you see yourself helping this ministry? And then you kind of, you know, get a feel of where they're at. But, you know, in that process, they may come in with you know, one motivation. But you're over there sharing with them, this is what we do in this department. Can you see yourself fitting in here? You know, it's tough. Interviewing's not always easy. You know, because they want that job, and some people are great interviewers over there, and then you. No.
The leadership above the line, it takes these concepts in a very simple form in an allegorical story, but puts people into strategist, humanitarian, and diplomat. And when you understand that, like, a strategist wants the organization to be good, humanitarian wants it to feel good. Diplomat wants it to look good, and you need all of those, it was very encouraging because I would come in and say, why don't the peer counselors, center managers, like, why don't they notice the things like the garbage on the floor? You know, I mean, not.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't
oh, yeah.
See these things. It's like, well, they're caring for the people, and why are they in those jobs, you know? But it was encouraging because it says, below the line, when you're not, you know, resting in the confidence of the Lord, you have those kind of, you know, unhealthy tendencies.
Right.
And when I have some of our humanitarian staff realize that people pleasing, and not wanting to offend people, if you missed out on realizing their full potential, that was actually hurting them. We did the test a year later, and a lot of them scored a lot higher because they read some things they really tried to work on.
Cool.
That part of their personality.
Yeah. Well, I got my email's on here, isn't it? Can you forward that?
Sure.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yes, Jennifer. Correct.
And then, so a safe administrative assistant or the bookkeeper, an office manager type person. So then you would want a high C in that position.
I would want a high C.
You would.
Yeah, because they're more detailed.
And then, so what about the other positions? Like your client service coordinator and your nurse and your whatever.
Yeah, and nurses are interesting. Yeah, the question is, you know, about making sure that the personality and the job description kind of match. But to answer your question, if we're needing a detailed person, let's say an accountant type, bookkeeping type person, they better have a lot of C in them or I'm not going to hire them. I won't.
What about the other positions?
But they've done it 30 years. I don't want to hire them because they're going to wear themselves out, or they'll I don't know. I just want someone who feels like this is my niche. I feel comfortable doing this, and God's gifted me to do this. You know, I'd rather have someone like that. Yes. What else? Other positions, like let's say the nurse. Nurses are neat because what we're looking at is, first of all, it's hard to even get a nurse who will come and interview because you can't pay them the amount of money that they make. Okay? And we've got four nurses, and they're making less than a nurse manager on top of that. And it's costing us a bundle, but it's less than they would make out in the marketplace. And so with nurses, it's kind of interesting. You can have them different personalities. You can have nurses detailed, and most nurses are detailed because they like to, but not all of them are. And so I look at them, I look at the job description, and we still want some degree of detail, but if they're not real detailed, I'm okay with that. Okay, because we're teaching them limited sonography, so they're nurses, they're counselors, they're confirming pregnancy tests, they're doing STD testing, and whatever, you know. So I'm a little bit more flexible personality-wise. I want to see how, again, where they came from. I want to see what they were like. How were people under her leadership? Good question. How were people under her leadership? Tell me. You know, how did the patients respond to her? Open-ended questions. All right, open-ended question. How did patients respond to her? They loved her. Why? Why did they love her? Because she cared about them. So it's a little bit different category with nurses. I have found. But the other positions, development person, I want someone who's got some eye in them that they can relate to people, you know. There's D's out there that are extremely great in development, and other D's would never be good because they're too opinionated, okay? They're not bent with enough eye in them to be flexible, you know, because you meet some interesting donors, right? I mean, all of us, we meet some interesting donors that they're successful, okay? And in our ministry, we don't want them telling us what to do, though. We don't want money designated. If you would, just please give your money to us and trust us that we will place it and be good stewards of it. Okay? Yes?
What about client services director?
Client services director. I think there needs to be some detail there. There needs to be some detail. Our director is an SC, and I love that. She gets along very well with people, and she's detailed. She was a teacher for almost 30 years. She was in the school system. So I love Nancy. I just love her. She's balanced, and, you know, we hire some people that can get emotional, not volatile, but, you know, and it's women, and it's women. You know, she was saying, don't talk about the difference between men and women. There are differences. So let me tell you, there's very few men who would fit in the pregnancy center movement as executive directors. You better have a love and respect for women. You better have it. Okay? I do. I love my mother. My mother was just, and, you know, she's in rehab right now and got some heart issues. She's 90. I'm lying. She says she's 91. And I love her. I love her. I respect her. She always, always encouraged us. I've got three brothers. Always edified us. Gave us little nicknames. Man, I will do anything for her. So what does that transfer and translate for me towards women? I can trust women. I shared with you way earlier, a few hours ago, my dad was hard on us. Nothing was ever good enough. Okay? So authority to me was a little shaky. Don't know if I can really trust authority. I've had to grow through that because that's part of growing up. I love you women. I respect you. Not all men do. Not all men do. for various reasons. Some of it's because of their relationship with their mothers. Others, just other stuff. Female teachers, whatever it may have been. Okay? But that is so important. And that's a great thing, too, is interviewing. Tell me about your relationship with your mother. Tell me about your relationship with your dad. Tell me. Yeah, those are good. Those are good counseling, but they're also very good. Yes.
Okay, so I feel like a lot of times I'm more like, it sounds weird, but like mainly in my emotions, like,
mm-hmm.
like get over it, like it is what it is, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I have some very highly emotional people that work at the center.
Yep.
And so a lot of times that really drives me insane.
Yep, it would.
How do I deal with that?
Hire different people. They are.
To the needs of others. And so
yeah.
Finding the right role for them has been the best thing we can do
yeah.
on our end as fellow director of
EMAN. Yeah.
Find the right service.
What was your temperament? What were you? What are you?
I don't know if I'm just weird, but my biggest point spread was 6 points.
Okay.
So I felt like I was
That's good.
Like all of them.
What's your high number?
D.
Okay. So you, Abby is a D23, an I21, an S19, and a C17. She is very balanced. Very balanced. Okay? And you're saying, you're in honesty, you were saying, gosh, Saul, there's times I just feel like maybe I'm too tough or I don't have the empathy.
Yeah.
Okay? Right? Because you've got work to do. Well, your slant is towards task, but there's a lot of relationship in you. We got jobs to do, and we let's talk about client services. We do need sensitive people who are there counseling. Well, we got our client advocate, our volunteer client advocates. You want them to be sensitive and caring. They need to know that you are responsible for the stewardship of the whole ministry. So that means, don't be afraid to say, that means counseling and the business part, or counseling and administration. We've got to have both. Because you need to help equip them and teach them, too. That makes sense? Yeah? Because they've got to know that. Just like a church, you've got to have the administrative person at the church to take care of the monies that come in, to pay the bills, make sure that we're not overpaying, whatever is done, the church, keep the costs down and being good stewards. Well, Pregnancy Center Ministry is, you've got to run it like a business. Got to run it like a business. And so you just have to bite your lip, though, because they're ministering.
Yeah,
they're ministering. Yeah.
It's not that easy to find, new people in that position that it is,
Are they paid position or are these?
Well, paid.
Okay.
They only get very little hours a week and they don't get paid much at all. So how do you do that in a small town where you don't have the resources just to say, okay, well, I don't think this is the right place for you. We're going to bring in someone else when that's literally the only person you have in that position.
Yeah. Pray. Can you talk louder?
I'm sorry. I was telling her that I'm from a very rural community in the thumb of Michigan, and I have two centers. I am the director of both centers, and I have one person who works as staff 10 hours a week. Everybody else is volunteers. So I am all over the thumb. I drive about 100 miles on average a day, going from my house to one office to the other office if they need me, juggling all that stuff. I found when I had a staff person who was just horrible in the position, she was just a mess all the time, that I was not helping her by allowing her to stay in that position, that I had to just say to her, I am really sorry, but we are in different places right now. You are not ready for this. I'm really sorry, but you have a choice to make. And I really put it on her to make the choice to either step up and be able to do the job or to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, if you can't meet my demands, you need to be less, you know, this. I mean, she had a whole list of all my faults. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm the leader, and I cannot change those things about me because I still need to lead. And she said, then I guess I'm done. And I said, well, thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought somebody else in who is amazing.
Amen.
Retired school teacher. She's an FC, and
yeah.
She's like yeah. The best thing ever. But God will, in those small communities, like we have, you know, Kiro has like 8,000 people, and Bad Axe has, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people. There's not a lot to draw on.
Yeah.
But God has the person. And you're not responsible for them. God is responsible for them. And if they're not able to serve, you're not doing them any benefit by keeping them there.
Well, the thing that I struggle with, she's great at her job. I mean, she really is. She's great at what she does. It's just our particular personalities, we clash a lot, and sometimes we're like just like each other, and then other times we're literally at each other's throat, like getting on each other, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And so I feel like that's kind of my responsibility to change my personality to accommodate her, because she is good at her job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want her to go, and I don't want things to happen, but I don't know what to do.
Well, I think asking the Lord to show you what your heart is.
Yeah.
I'm in an opposite situation. I have a boss that is, we're a lot alike. And I have really prayed.
We are, we're supposed to finish at 5:30, right? Okay.
And he has shown me that. And, you know, we all have the opportunity to grow, to change, and change to be more what God wants us.
Yeah. It's a challenge when you have what you're saying. You have an employee, that perhaps your personalities clash, and I think things have been shared about it. You're going to have to decide what your expectations are and what hers are. Yeah, and you've got the last word. But again, it's being a good steward. You know, you can have some really good people, but it's not a good fit under your type of leadership. Okay. If you have a board member, yeah, that could help you. Yeah, yeah. We got to move on. There's the next slide I want to show you is on the. You can see those the different things there, but on this slide here, it breaks it out for us on the summary of D's, the I's, the S's, the C's. I think we've said enough about it. Okay, we've gone over it enough. But keep this. This is wonderful for you to share back in your center. Then we talked about this blended leadership strength. That's another vital piece that you want to keep handy. You can put this in a little notebook form and give it to your people. The other thing is biblical examples. You know, with Paul, for instance, Paul was a high D. And the thing that we want to glean from here is the fact that how to respond to a high D. How do you respond to a D? And look what it says here. I love this. It says, provide direct answers. Be brief and to the point. Confrontation may be necessary to gain their attention. S's and I's and C's. D's respect strength and power and confidence. And if we're wimps, we're not going to get anywhere. And does God want us to be wimps?
No.
No, that's why I say our focus is on holy boldness with your temperament. You be confident in who you are with your temperament. But when you're in a conversation and things need to be shared and brought to the surface, let you be powered by the Holy Spirit to bring it up. UDs, you need not to become defensive, but to receive it. And it's the same with UCs. Receive it. Okay? Ask what questions, not how. You know, our board member, who's been there for many years, who I truly respect, he helped mentor me. I ask him, how you doing? How's the family? It is very short response, and it turns around and says, what are your results this month? Okay? It's gotten warmer over the years, but that's who he is. So why am I going to try to change who he is? Right? So I say, hey, how you doing? Doing great. Great. And then we go right to business. Now, there's other board members. Because remember, I answer to board members. Other board members, man, they engage. They want to talk. They share. How are you doing, Saul? How's the family? How's everybody at the center? So, difference. Does one care more than the other? No. They're caring in their way. Follow me? And that's what our people need to understand, too. So, let's go on. Stick to business. See, I take this when I'm meeting with donors, pastors. This is what I go by. I pick up pretty quickly if I'm talking to a D or an I or an S or a C. I pick it up real quickly, and so can you. So, outline possibilities for a person to get results. Solve problems. Be in charge. You know, stress logic of ideas or approaches. When in agreement, agree with facts and ideas, not a person. Stick to the facts. Okay? If timeliness or sanctions exist, get them into the open, but relate them to the end results or goals. So the D personality gets things done. They get them done. And most of the time, most Ds, they're direct. You're going to spend an hour with them and they're gone. Every once in a while, I'll have some Ds that we spend 2 or 3 hours together. Awesome. It's great. You know, they've been engaged. They love our cause. And people give to people, by the way. Our cause is great, but if they don't like you, they're not going to give to you. So people, be approachable, all of us, because we're all marketers. I always tell our staff, we're all marketers. We're all development people. We're all missionaries. We're all that. Okay? And so that's Paul. When you go let's go over down here to Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch, you know, the first five books of the Bible, and they're pretty detailed. So it says, the high C, they want security, no sudden changes, personal attention, little responsibility. That's interesting. Exact job descriptions, controlled work environment, status quo, reassurance to be part of the group. Well, prepare your case in advance. But you know, it's no different than a D. You better prepare your case in advance for a D. Okay? Bottom line. Okay? So you want to raise the budget? Why? What are you basing it on? You want to hire this person? Why? Well, I already have a job description. You better have a job description already put out. Okay? Be prepared. Be prepared for the D. Be prepared for the C. Provide straight pros and cons of ideas. Support ideas with accurate data. Provide reassurance that no surprises, that's a big word, will occur. C's don't like surprises because everything's in order, structured. Okay? Provide step-by-step approach to a goal. If agreeing, be specific. If disagreeing, disagree with facts, not the person. That's big. Yeah. And then strongly reject poor me comments. I don't know what that's about. Okay. Provide many explanations in a patient and persistent manner. Provide many explanations in a patient and persistent manner. Because we already discovered that some people are DCs. Okay? So they may may ask you, they want to do the talking, but when they talk, they may ask some real detailed questions and surprise you. Be prepared. Be prepared. So these two, the D's and the C's, wonderful group of people, and we need to know how to respond to them. The S for Abraham, security of situation, time to adjust, appreciation. I think we've gone over a lot of this. Limited territory and areas of specialization. S is like a track to run on. I mentioned that before. It's very important. D's will create the track. S's put that locomotive on a track and run it. Okay? Okay? So provide a sincere, personal, and agreeable environment. Show a sincere interest in the person. Ask how questions to get an opinion. Allow for and use visual illustrations. Be patient in drawing out their goals. Present ideas or departures from status quo in a non-threatening, this is really important, non-threatening manner. Give them a chance to adjust. Remember, C's and S's adjust slowly. They need time. You know why? They just need the time to process. They're no dumber and no smarter. But they need time to adjust, just to think it through, just think it through, because they're used to running on a track. I relate to this. You know, it's me. I'm a visionary, but I'm a visionary on a track. Okay, we know we want to have so many centers open. We know we our goal is to have 1,000 babies saved. I don't know when we're ever going to have happen. You know, a year. We've got this. We got that. Well, that's a track I'm running on. It's a visionary track, but it's a track. And we're all on board, the staff and the board of directors. Okay? And so, fine. That's good. If you're going to change it, then give me some time to adjust to it, because my whole being is on that course. Does that make sense? Okay? So, allow them time to process and set a deadline. That's what I said earlier. Okay? You better set a deadline or we won't get back with you. Define their goals in the plan. Provide personal assurance of support and emphasize how their actions will minimize their risk. So, see, this is so insightful. So insightful. This is like when I did therapy and I learned from Rafa and from Liberty University and my time there at the psychiatric hospital. This is the best way to deal with someone who has depression. This is the best way to deal with those people who have anxiety. This is the best way to deal with couples who love each other, but they're not on the same wavelength. What are some things you can do to help them? Okay, so they're proven, and it's really helpful. You know, as a therapist. Well, now God says you're not going to be a therapist anymore. You're going to go work with the pregnancy center that you all have been supporting for years, and you're going to be talking to donors. You're going to be hiring people. And now I want you to be able to be a good steward of what I've given you oversight. It's really what the Lord is telling each and every one of us. Now, the more information we have, wow, this is great. And this is a packet that you could copy and give to your leadership, give to your team, to parts of it or all of it. Because the next thing is go over here, and this is what everyone on, we have to update ours, but this is what everyone in our, on our staff gets, this sheet right here. And it's really, it's straightforward, but it is good. Let me see, didn't I have that on there? It may not be on there. Yeah, okay. So you'll see, here's, we left the people's names off, okay? Leader number one, that, they took the disc, right? And so this first one, it has an S27, D23, C19, and I11. Okay? Now, you go back to your chart, this chart here, blended leadership strengths. Go ahead and put that underneath. What's their motivation? Motivation, primary, it says appreciation. Okay? But, let me hear, with Ds, if you're 20 or more on a D, that's pretty strong. And even though you've got S in you, there's a lot of D in you. And so the motivation for D is what? Results. Okay? So know that. Even though that may be their secondary, it's still pretty high. And so they will be turned on by results. They also like appreciation, so you use that word when you're talking to them at different times. And then the third one is quality. So it tells you a lot. Then over here, I just spell it out. Steadiness, dominance, and then the love languages. This is a wonderful, wonderful sheet right here. And you do this for every person by department. So that director of, let's say, client services has a list of all theirs. When we merged with Tampa, we had 3 centers. Tampa had 2. Now we have 5 centers. We blended. We brought over 12 more people, added more to our budget. But I had a big gathering in one of our donors' house, just a beautiful home, and there was 25 people there. 25 people, and we did pretty much this. The disc, we did personality things and all this, where they're going to clash and where, you know, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, where's the potential of having some conflict. And we had fun with it. We had fun with it. And I think they gained a lot of knowledge. And we had this. They did their disc, and afterwards everyone got one, so they know with their names, everyone's names on there, what their personality type is, how they're bent. Great way for them to be knowledgeable of how to talk to them, why they react the way they do and act the way they do. Make sense? Okay. Yes, Angel. On attached here, I've got the little test on the love languages. Okay? You got a little thing there, I think. You can go online to do it. It's pretty straight. The love language is pretty straightforward, but there's an explanation of the love languages on here attached. I don't have them up here on a PowerPoint. I found this other thing too that broke down the love languages. At home and was that just at home? Yeah, that was just at home. And here's a love language office edition. So that's an explanation of the 5 love languages in an office setting and one on a home setting. Okay? So they're there. And you can go online. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a little different. So that piece, again, these things that I'm sharing with you is what we've been using, things that we've gone over the years. Put this together in a nice little binder or whatever and give it to your people. Talk about it. Process it. Okay? And you give me your feedback. Any suggestions you have, I'd love to hear from you and say, hey, have you thought about this? Or that maybe this is a slick way of doing it. So whatever I can glean from you all, then I share it with others. Okay? I wanted to, before we move on, I wanted to share a couple things out of this book that I think are pertinent. The high D individual would probably have an intense, no-nonsense look. See, this is what response can we expect from the 4 personality styles in various situations? Okay?